So once again, very good morning, my friends. Good morning. Right, it's nice to hear that. While we let the children go back to their seats, I share with you something happened last week. My son and I, we signed up for a badminton competition. And so in this competition, we have the junior category. That means those below 17, right? And then we have the senior category, all right, for the veteran, people like me. And then there's another category, is the open category. So as you can see, the junior category is for the younger youth, all right, players. And the older, the senior category are for more people like myself, as you know, not young anymore lah, huh? So, but my son wanted to partner me for this competition. So I can't go to the junior, but my son cannot go to the veteran. So in the end, both of us sign up for the open category. Now, the problem is this, alright? Among the three categories, the open category is the toughest category. For one reason, all the best, the stronger one, all will sign up for the open category. So, when I saw my players, my opponent, my jaw dropped. First of all, I look at them, the two of them, they combine their age, is not even older than me. So that means two of them, they combine their age, they are actually younger than me. So that is the first thing. Secondly, they are very muscular, very fit, and very strong. I look at my son. Some people, one bone, you know. I look at myself, Baba, son Chen Ro. So I look at my son, I say, that's it lah. And when I saw them, I was telling my son, hopefully we will not get trashed. So we were afraid that we will get trashed. We were afraid that, you know, that we will be really beaten up by them. But I said to my son, never mind. Let's do our best. Okay, let's do our best. Let's pray and trust God. And so we played a game. Of course, we lost the game lah. Alright? How to compete with young people, right? And they're so much faster than us. So there's no way we can beat them. So we lost the game. But we played a good game. And I felt we have finished well, right? So, after the game, then we realized, you know, that actually, they are not as fearful, or they are not as difficult, or they are not as big as what we thought they are. Right? But before that, we thought, well, it's very hard to play with them. But after we play with them, they realize that, actually, they are not that scary after all. So their fear is a bit, right? Not necessary, okay? And so we have all some form of fear in our life, right? Some of us fear of failure. Some of us fear of pain. Some of us fear of suffering. Some of us fear of losing control. Some of us fear of death. Some of us fear of change. Isn't that true? We all have some kind of fear in us. And some fears were meant for our good because it protects us from harm. But there are some, like Goliath, they come to steal our future, to rob away our joy, to rob away our love, to rob away our peace, our rest, our possibility and future in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so how do we overcome those fears in your lives? This morning I suggest to you that we can learn from David, King David. That King David learned to overcome the fear by walking down to the valley and face his enemy. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40, it says that then David took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. He walked near to the giant. He walked to the Goliath. So before David became the king of Israel, David had to walk down to the valley and face his first Goliath of his life. The brook that we just read earlier, the brook where David picked the five smooth stones, is also known as the Valley of Elah. But what's so significant about this valley? 3,000 years ago, this is a valley where it's best known for the battle of two armies. The valley is in the middle or in between the two mountains. On one side is a valley represented by the army of Israel. On the other side is represented by the army of Philistine. Because the valley is one of the most strategic battlefields in Israel, that's what made David's battle with Goliath so important, so crucial, because it concerns the future of Israel. But in this situation, Israel is not in favor to win. The Philistine had defeated Israel twice, and the ark is still with them. Saul has lost God's favor. He's weak and afraid. If you were there during my last sermon, I shared with us that Saul was probably going through some depression. So Saul was not in the good shape to lead the army. And the armies are terrified and deeply shaken as they look at the size of Goliath. So they were really, really afraid. And for 40 days, without stop, this big giant, huge giant, every day walked to them and challenged the Israelite to come down and challenge him at the valley. But no one had enough faith to walk down to the valley and face the Goliath until David volunteered himself. Why they were afraid to walk down to the valley? Because they suspected that whoever walked down into that valley is not going to come out of it. They are going to die in that valley. They are going to be defeated by the Goliath in that valley. So to them, it is literally a dead valley. 送死,可惜, right? But the truth is that the Valley of Elah is one of the most fertile districts in Palestine, where life spring from the ground, where they grow large crops, greenery everywhere. So the valley is supposed to be the valley of life. But fear blinded the Israel armies. Fear blinded their spiritual eyes. Fear blinded their sight. And because their sight is being blinded, their spiritual sight is being blinded. Because they are blinded, so all they could see at that point was just a dead valley. A valley without hope. A valley that is meaningless. A valley that is no future. This is what fear will do to you and me if we don't face it today. Those fears are like Goliath. It will keep haunting you. It will keep hurting you with words. It will keep lying to you. Put a mask of death over the land of life. May you stay in the past and keep you away from your future in God. And this is the reason that this morning, if you have fear in your life, whether it's in your studies, you are afraid that you cannot pass your exam, whether you are fear of losing control of your life, may I encourage you this morning, do not hide in the mountain. Obey the word of God. Come to the valley and face your giant today. Last time there is a liquor that said, 你怕黑吗? Have you remember that? Okay, I say 你怕黑吗? You must say, 黑有什么好怕? Is it okay? We try it. 你怕黑吗? Hey, that's good. Right? 黑有什么好怕? Right? So we don't want to be afraid, because in Christ, we do not have to be afraid. But why David must walk down to the valley? Why God asked David to walk down to the valley instead of asking David to stay on the mountaintop and pray against the Goliath? Why not just pray on the mountain in Jesus' name? God, send thunder and strike the Goliath. you know, then Goliath becomes your too, right? Right? Why not God? David just said, God, you know, send thunder and destroy Goliath. Why David must come down to the valley? Because David would never know he could kill Goliath unless he walked to the valley. He will never know how much God can use him unless he faced his enemy. So sometimes God wants you to face your giant. It's not because God cannot do it, but he wants you to know what he can do through you. And so you must not be afraid when you are going through challenges in your life. When fear is controlling you, you must not be afraid. Must not be afraid, but by faith, walk down to the valley and face the giant. And so that God can show you what he can do through your life. So you never know what you are really capable of doing unless you walk to the valley in faith. Last month at Men at Coos, I was there with them for the retreat. So we had our retreat at Kwang. And the theme for this year's retreat is resilient. And so how to achieve that mission, how to meet that goal, the committee tasked us to overcome by climbing one of the mountains in Kwang. It's about probably 3 hours plus, probably three times the size of Bukit Timah. So that was our mission, right? To meet the objective and learn about the meaning of resilience. Now, initially, my team were not so confident of reaching the summit. We had a young one and we also get an old one. And so we were not so confident because most of us had never really climbed the mountain before. I've never even tried to climb our Bukit Timah hill before. But there's such a big faith in me, they put me as a leader of the team, right? So I have to really trust God for that. And so we have doubt about our fitness. Can we really do it? Can we make it? Actually, I wasn't that confident also. I have sports background. I think I'm fit enough, but I have injury. So I'm not sure whether can I really make it to the summit. But we decided to try. So we walk. As we started to walk, we realized actually the mountain was not as scary after all. We realized that it's not as difficult as what we thought. So as we walk, and one step at a time, finally we reach the summit. And we praise God for that my team, all of us, managed to make it to the top. Isn't that good? Yes? Amen? Okay, thank you. But this one is give to the Lord, Okay? Now, after this experience, you know, after we overcome the mountain, we are in high spirit. And God built in us a courage to do a greater things for him. So the men at Coos had a meeting, and now they have decided to set a higher target for next year. So they say, next year, our aim is to overcome Mount Kinabalu. Now, you know where is Mount Kinabalu, alright? It's much, much larger and higher than this mountain that we climb Krang. Very ambitious, but I think in God, all things are possible, right? But only with one condition, alright? To those who want to sign up and want to conquer that big mountain, only one condition I said to them, they must be willing to train and count the cost. Because it's not going to be that easy anymore. So, we want to climb this mountain, alright, not with a blind faith. We want to climb this mountain with enough preparation and really know what we are doing. And so likewise, David did not fight with Goliath with a blind faith. You know, a lot of people, when we talk about a story about David and Goliath, many times we see David as the underdog. Why? Because David is a small boy, he's young, he's inexperienced, and Goliath always picture to us that someone is impossible to be beaten, someone impossible to be overtaken. So many times when we look at this story, we tend to see that David is the underdog. But I want you to know the truth is this. David knows his strength very well. And he knows what he is good at. He did not fight this battle with a blind faith. He knows exactly how to defeat Goliath. Because he found Goliath weaknesses. As you know, Goliath is big, is huge, is strong. But Goliath's greatest strength is also his greatest weakness. Because he's big, he's too big to be missed. Because he's too big, his reaction is slower. His movement is slower. So what seems to be impossible in the beginning now become possible in God. Goliath, after all, is not as powerful as what he thought. Goliath can be taken down. But how did David see such possibility in his situation? In the midst of darkness, how did David see the situation? Have that very positive and the knowledge on how to overcome Goliath. It's simple. Simply because David has faith in God. David, his faith is in God and not in himself, and not neither is in Goliath. David put his trust in God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 26 says that, "For to the one who pleases him, for to the one who trusts him, for to the one who have faith in God, has given wisdom and knowledge and joy." I do not know where are you today. I do not know, you know, what tunnel are you in today. Maybe you are not able to see future in where you are today. It's so dark in the place that you are in today. Have faith in God. When you put your faith in God rather than in yourself and not in the situation, God will show you a way out. Fear makes us feel there is no way out. But faith is believing God will make a way even where there seems to be no way. Faith is believing God has everything under control. Faith is believing in what David prayed to God when he was in the valley. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for God is with me." So I want to encourage you, my friends here, if you are doing exam, it's coming up for all the children, coming up in a few months' time, no fear. Alright, children, repeat after me, say, no fear. Only one, the rest of children, you are sleeping, huh? Children, are you? Give me your attention. I want you to repeat after me and say, no fear. Hey, no. You can do better than that, alright? I want you to make the whole, this place shake, huh? To your voice, okay? One more time, alright? Children, say, no fear. Yes, alright? Very good, okay? So, your exam is coming, but no fear, okay? Because God is with you. Maybe some of us here, you're going through a dark valley. No fear, because God is with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, no fear. God is with you. Amen. So David walked down to the valley in faith, trusting in God, and he picked 5 smooth stones. Now, if you're fighting someone twice your height, someone's hip twice your weight, stronger than you, now probably you will probably want to choose something that's rough, sharp, and thinking that this will probably be a better weapon to kill the Goliath. But David instead chose the smooth stone. Because this is the best weapon to David to kill Goliath. Why? Because of his speed. You know, besides this one fits nicely into David's sling, apparently a smooth stone flies straight and more accurate than stone with round and harsh edges. And sometimes each stone could fly at a speed of 100 miles per hour. You don't seem to be very convinced in what I say. I did some research. I think it's true. But to prove what I'm saying is true, Sam, where are you? Sam, can you please stand? Don't mind Sam. Sam, yeah. Sam is very tall. He manages a Goliath. Alright. Sam, I'm going to do this on you, okay? I'm going to throw the stone straight to you. Alright. And you try to catch, alright? Just want to prove that what I'm saying is true, the theory, huh? Okay, are you ready? Alright, ready? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I will give you the stone later after the service, alright? Alright, thank you, Sam. Okay. Thank you. David picked up the smooth stone, and with that stone, he overcame his Goliath. David became the smooth stone God used to overcome his first Goliath in life. And this morning, I want to share with us, there are four lessons we can learn about a smooth stone. There are four things we can learn about the five smooth stones. First of all, those five stones were there long before Goliath. Some scholars believe that David took five stones because Goliath had four more brothers. So that's why he took another four. So one for Goliath and four for each of the brothers. And eventually it turned out to be true that David killed all the others, Goliath, the four brothers, and conquered Israel, greatest enemy, Philistine, once and for all. Others say maybe his bag can only take five stones. Or maybe David wasn't that certain. And so, because he wasn't that certain, just to make sure that he will really hit Goliath, he took another four, in case the first one missed. But what we don't want to miss in this part of the story is that right from the beginning, even before the arrival of Goliath, even before David, even before this battle, God had already prepared those stones for David to defeat his enemy. Whatever you're going through today, I want you to know, long before you arrive at that destination, God had already prepared something for you to overcome your Goliath. But you must trust God and you must seek God. So just as God had prepared those smooth stones for David to defeat Goliath, He can and will provide for you today. In fact, friends, God already has prepared one for us. Right now, right here, His name is Jesus. Jesus is our David God has prepared for us. Long before we even knew we needed rescuing, long before we have this situation and challenge that we are in, God has already prepared for us, Jesus, to be our David giant slayer. Romans says, in Romans said by Paul, the Apostle Paul says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are more than conquerors in Jesus. Okay. You know, the one good thing about standing down here, you can see who are those that will turn and who are those never turn. So I want you to do one more time for me, okay? Turn to your neighbor and give a good smile. You are more than conqueror in Jesus. Thank you. Well done. That's great. So, wherever you are right now, the question is not, what are your Goliaths? The question is not, what are my situation? The question is this, who is your giant slayer this morning? His name is... Alamak, jialat. All going to be beaten down by Goliath. Huh? Okay, you cannot say the name, you're in trouble. One more time, okay? Who is your giant slayer? One more time. Okay, Jesus is smiling right now, okay, because you can hear from up there, heaven. The second lesson that we can learn about this stone is that this five stone doesn't come smooth overnight. You know, I went to read something about stones. Actually, this idea was given by our senior pastors, alright, talk about a smooth stone. So I read something about smooth stone and, you know, I was quite amazed by how the stone becomes smooth. So no rocks became smooth and round. All rocks became like, started with this kind of shape, rough, sharp edges, so all rocks are like that. But smooth stone are formed by the fast rushing stream of water, the valley, that keep rubbing the stone, the sands, and other rocks that rub in them. And this process takes a long time. Sometimes some of us will wonder, you know, why take so long? Because sometimes there are certain situations in our life, God needs a longer time to help you to overcome. So it takes a long time. They have to keep bashing, rubbing, until all the heart and edges of the stone been cut away, taken away, and become as smooth as this. And so this is how God shaped our lives. This is how God changed our lives. You know, when we ask God to change our life, when we say, God, transform me, this is how God will help you. God help you through getting rid of all the rough edges in your lives. So that all the unnecessary things about your life, God wants to take it away and give you what you truly are. I know that no one enjoy cutting and conflicts. No one enjoy the process of that pain. No one enjoy that. Because it's hard. When you're in it, it's really very difficult. Emotionally, you are strained. Mentally, you are strained. But my friends, this is a necessary process to become smooth. This is a necessary process and step for God to help us to be who He wants us to be. And I think you will agree with me. You know, sometimes the truth is this, we learn better through hardship. Isn't that true? Sometimes in the hardship that God is able to bring out the worst and also the best in us. So when you're going through hardship, don't be afraid. Now this, can you see the slide? Now this pincer, alright, you see on the slide, it's not the crab pincer. I mean, it's a shape of the crab, but it's not a crab pincer. This is actually a stone. Alright, someone turned this stone into a very beautiful pincer. But I want you to know that this only can become beautiful is because it has gone through a lot of friction. So it is impossible to become so beautiful without conflict, without cutting, without constant pain, without removing all the rough edges. Before the stone can become so beautiful, there's a process that it must go through. If you are in that process today, hold on. Hang on. Hold on to God. Believe in God that is bringing something good in you for His glory. Paul says that when we run into problems and trials, we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So Paul says, when you go through the trials, have hope in God. Rejoice. Why? Whatever you are going through, God is bringing out something the best in you. In other words, for God to bring out the best in us, you want God to bring the best in you, we must learn to love the cutting away. If you really want God to bring the best out in you, to change you and to transform you and to be this smooth stone, you must love the cutting away. Because transformation, change take time. And sometimes we have to go a bit longer. We have to endure a little bit longer because we have more ages in our lives to cut away. But the point is this. If you feel that God is cutting you, don't give up. Hang on to God. Put your trust in God. And believe that whatever you are going through, God is doing the best for you. The third thing that we learn about stone is that these stones remain silent. I have a smooth palm-sized stone on my hand right now. Smooth and colored. Now, beside the smooth surface, I can feel its solidness. It's really hard. You know, try to bite. I can feel the toughness. It's not easily, you know, break apart. But there's another characteristic about this stone. And this stone is, it always remains silent. No matter how I throw at the stone, you never hear the stone, ouch! Or when I insult the stone will say, you also the same. You are so ugly. The stone said, you are ugly too. Whatever you say to the stone, whatever you do to the stone, However, you try to hit the stone, it remains silent. Psalms 37 verse 11, David said this. Someone who had gone through a lot in his life. He said this in his prayer. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The meek are those that will inherit the earth. Meek means we will meet hardship. We will endure difficulty. We will encounter difficulties. We will face challenges. And friction can be painful. But we must keep a good attitude. We must remain faithful in God. We learn to refrain from anger, revenge. We absorb adversity and criticism without slashing back, while we wait patiently for the Lord. Sometimes in our relationship, we face people who misunderstood us. We meet people who criticize us. It's so natural in us that we allow our anger to surface in us, that we want to do something back to the person. But I encourage you, we learn to put our trust in God. We learn to hold back and believe that God knows everything we are going through. Rather, we say, ask God, God, I'm angry, but I want to do what is right in your sight. This is what people, when they practice meekness, they'll say to themselves, I'm angry, but God, help me to do what is right in your sight. To be meek also means we learn to thank God for the trials we endure. We learn to thank God for the difficulty we are going through. It's difficult. That's why it's by faith that we can do it. It is tough to thank God when you're going through hard time. How to ask a person to smile when they're in pain? It's almost difficult. It's almost impossible. But our heart, our attitude must remain positive. Must keep that hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We must continue to thank God for what we are going through. Why? Because they are like sandpaper to our soul, leaving us lighter, smoother, and stronger. The meek also means we learn to let go of trying to figure out the whys of life and trust that God understands more than we ever could. We learn to rely in Christ's almighty strength instead of upon our own inadequate strength. God can make us smooth, solid, and strong. But we must learn to be patient with the Lord. We must learn to let the river of life and the rock to wash away our sharp edges. Last but not least, these five stones. Why David picked the five stones? You see, in the valley there are many stones. There are some out of the valley. Probably they are in this shape, dry, because of whatever reason they refuse to stay in the valley, so they jump out and they remain like that for the rest of their lives. There are some in the river that are smooth and nice and beautiful, but David did not pick them because they were not ready to be used by him. David picked these five stones. As you look at the valley and look at all the pebbles, all the stone in the valley, and he picked these five, because these five were ready to be used by God. I've seen people in life where even to today, God cannot use them. Because they have so many edges and sharp edges, rough edges in their lives that refuse to surrender them to God. They want to keep it. And so they become very rough. Their relationship with people also very rough. Their work also very rough. And wherever they go, because of the sharp edges, they always hurt people. Instead of blessing people, love people, giving people hope, but because of all the sharp edges, wherever they go, they don't bring blessing, but they bring hurt to other people. They bring pain to other people. But this is not what God has called us to do. God called us to be His smooth stone, where He can use, not just to overcome your Goliaths in life, but wherever you go, you bring life. You bring love. You bring grace. You bring hope. You bring faith to people who are struggling in their tunnel. And you are there to give them that hope. There's someone that God can use you today, that wherever you go, you are sent to set the people free. David had gone through a lot. David did not become smooth overnight. He started as, the story begins with him as a boy who is unimportant, forgotten. His dad forgot about him. He's a shepherd boy. He should be in the field fighting with his brothers, try to gain that reputation. But because he wanted to obey his father, so he remained at home. But he never get angry with his dad. He chose to respect his dad's wishes. And even after killing Goliath so many times, David had to run for his life because he became a threat to his own king. The king got threatened by his success, so he wanted to kill him. So imagine David had to run the rest of his life, even after killing Goliath. He might be thinking, wow, after killing Goliath, my life will be better. But it didn't. He has still had to go through difficulty in his life. And later part of his life, his own son betrayed him, trying to seize his throne. But God called David the man who seeks after his own heart. God used David because with all the pain and suffering David has to go through, he chose to remain faithful and wait upon the Lord. We heard a story about Moses. For 40 years of molding before God can use him. Joseph, he too, for many years, betrayed by his own brother, got wrongly accused, before he became the prime minister. They went through trials. They went through washing. They went through cutting before they became the smooth stone. So today, this morning, as we end our service here, I want to ask us this question. For the remaining of your life, what do you want to be? You want to remain the rock like this? Hard, sharp, ineffective, bring hurt to others, unloved? Or you want to be the smooth stone that God can use? Grace, love, effective, faith, confident in the Lord. You have a choice today. But in order for you to become the smooth stone, you must be willing to let go of your anger. You must be willing to let go of your bitterness. You must be willing to let go of your pride. You must be willing to let go anything that doesn't help you in your life. It's not pleasing to God. Our grumbling, our gossiping, blaming, pushing responsibility. We must be willing to let go of all these things and come to God and surrender all our witnesses to Him. And as you surrender your witnesses to Him, remember, the process can be painful. Because when God begins to work something in your life, it can be painful. But remember that whatever you are going through in life, God loves you too much to allow you to go through process cutting without a purpose. God will bring you through because He loves you too much. He wants you to transform you from a rough rock like this to a smooth stone like this, where He can use you for His kingdom and His glory. So whatever you're going through today, my friends, maybe we are all in the same valley. The river is still washing over us. We are still hit by the rock. I do not know what you're going through today. I have my own struggles. You have your own struggles. But I want to encourage you this morning. Be faithful in the Lord. Be faithful in Him. Trust Him. And have faith that whatever you're going through today, God will bring out the best in you. May I invite you to stand with me as we have a closing song, this response songs right now. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And right now, I want us to pray or think, what is the one or two ages in your life that you know that God is trying to cut away from you? You know that God is rubbing, but because it's so painful, you keep on resisting. What is the one or two areas in your life that you know that God is rubbing? Your relationship with your spouse, your unforgiveness, your work, your pride. What is one or two? May I invite you, as you close your eyes, would you surrender the one or two rough edges in your life to God this afternoon? Let God cut it away. Let God polish it for you. As you go through the process, you become the smooth stone that God can use to destroy the Goliath in your life, the smooth stone that will bring blessing to many. Amen. Let's close our eyes right now. Why don't you surrender the two ages, some of the ages that you know that God wants to cut them away? Why don't you pray right now, God? God, you know, I want to be like the smooth stone, but I'm afraid of pain, and I don't like the process, but I know that I must go through it in order for you to bring out the best in me. So Lord, this morning, I want to come before you and asking you, God, would you help me? Help me, Lord, those areas that need to be cut off, Lord, would you do it for me? And as I walk through it, oh God, give me strength, empower me by your Holy Spirit to walk faithfully like David, oh God, till you finish your work in me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Joy, our hearts can say, yes, our hearts.
leave this place, how many of us you want to be that smooth stone? We all want to be that smooth stone, alright? So I'm going to teach you one Hokkien word. I will explain the meaning of it later on, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, Loon. Loon means you must learn to endure. Alright? You want to be a smooth stone, you must learn to loon, alright? And you'll be the smooth stone. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your words. Just want to bless my brothers and sisters here, Lord. Thank you for whatever we're going through today. But we know that we can sing deep in our hearts that you are with us. And we can know that whatever we are going through, Lord, you won't allow us to go through something that is not the best for us. But teach us how to loon. Teach us how to have faith in you and endure till you finish your work in us. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.